I'd like to call the September 6, 2023 Newtown Borough Council meeting to order. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Apologies for our late start. We had executive session run right to the bitter end, and everybody needed a little bit of a break. I have one amendment to the agenda. That's a motion to approve an alcoholic beverage permit application that will go underneath the mayor. Do we have any other amendments to the agenda? Public to be heard? All right, I now invite Warren Bromley and Frank Mendito to present on behalf of the Newtown Sewer Authority.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Warren Bormley. I'm with the Newtown Sewer Authority. Gentleman to my left, Mike Mendito. Mike has been with the Sewer Authority for 28 years. I've been with the Sewer Authority for 40. I'm here to give you a little background information on our system and what's taking place.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the chair over there so everybody can see it. Yeah. I will not check it.
So, just to give you a little background, the Sewer Authority started in like 1961. The need for the Sewer Authority back then was just for the borough because of the failing systems and the homes' proximity so close to each other. As time went on, sewer plant was built, township started expanding. And what has happened, moving 30 years forward, 40 years, this is the entire sanitary sewer system infrastructure for Newtown Borough and Newtown Township. There's roughly 103 miles of sewer. There is 2,630 manholes. There's roughly 50 easements, sanitary sewer easements throughout. This has all transpired, you know, from 1961 to present. This map was done in 2020. I just brought this for a reference just to show you. What you see in colors is different collection areas. Like over here is the Newtown Crossing area. Everything you see here, this is all Newtown Grant. That's 1,751 homes. And then coming down through the whole system, 85-90% in the gray area drains down to the old treatment plant. So everything else is gravity. We have 5 pump stations that take care of pumping from different places because of, let's just say out by the college, not hill, we pump up the hill and down and then into town, Swamp Road. So basically, this is the entire collection system for the borough and the township. What we're looking at to do is the old treatment plant site was down here at the very bottom near Warren Custer's farm. What we're trying to do or looking at right now is over out on the bypass across from adjacent to the LaSalle campus. There is a 17-acre parcel there. The authority is looking into that right now. We have not made an offer as of yet. We're talking about it. We are also putting numbers together for the cost of the treatment plant and the rates and so forth, projecting what the cost would be 10, 15, 20, 30 years out. We have went to DEP, talked to DEP about this. DEP is on board with us. We also went to the township. We talked to the township folks. They're on board as well. What is driving all this is what they call the Neshaminy Interceptor. And the Neshaminy Interceptor is owned by Bucks County Water and Sewer. Since we do not have a treatment plant, and we closed our treatment plant in 1988, because Philadelphia and Bucks made it cheaper at that point to go there. What's happened is there is 13 different municipalities that all flow down to the Totem Road pump station, which goes to Philly. So all 13 municipalities, starting with Newtown and then Northampton, all flow to the city for treatment. So Newtown Sewer Authority deals in collection only right now. The Chamonix Interceptor, which is owned by Bucks County Water Sewer, deals in the trunk line, which is the, you know, the, the collection.
Conveyance.
Yeah, thank you. So Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority owns this whole entire line. And this is the conveyance line, which takes this and transports all that sanitary from all these municipalities down. Now, over the years, over 30 years, these municipalities used to be privately owned. And over the past 30 years, Bucks County Water and Sewer has purchased roughly 9 to 12 of these municipalities. I don't know if you know, but they just purchased Bristol Township. So what's happening is, over the years, these systems have been in disrepair. And Bucks had to go in and start repairing under a mandate from DEP because they wanted to stop what they call SSOs, which is sanitary sewer overflows. What happens is when you get a rain event, the pipes get inundated with water and the sewage, and that comes up out of ground, manholes pop and so forth, and you have what they call an SSO, sanitary sewer overflow. So Bucks, over the years, has sat on these municipalities, hasn't really done too much with them. And now all of a sudden, we just received a rate increase. You all know that we just got a rate increase of 20%. Bucks is stipulating that it's going to run around $200 million. This is one increase of two more increases coming. And then the other driver to this whole entire thing is Philadelphia Water Department. Philadelphia Water is treatment. They're the treatment facility. So they also control the rates as well as Bucks County Water and Sewer. So Newtown, Township and Borough, or the Sewer Authority, we have no recourse in rate increases or rate adjustments or rate negotiations. That's all done by Bucks County with PWD. And if there's an increase from PWD, that goes to Bucks, and Bucks uses that as a pass-through. So what we're looking at is, even though the Sewer Authority, Newtown Sewer Authority, we've done I&I work since 1995, we keep continuously. The board was always very adamant, being proactive. I&I is inflow and infiltration. Inflow is if you have a manhole lid missing, and it's a drainage area, and all the water runs right in, that's inflow. Infiltration is when you have a rain event for 5 days and the rain soaks in the ground and then inundates through the joints of the pipes. So basically, all of these need repair. Bucks just floated a $60 million bond for the first part of this. We do not know what the other two, but we do know the one was 20%. We don't know what the other two will be. So the authority is doing their due diligence. Due diligence is looking into acquiring a piece of property and then looking in to put a state-of-the-art facility in for strictly the township and the borough. That's it. We talked to the DEP, we've talked to First National, we have funding for purchase of the land. We are also right now looking into bond council and so forth. We're moving in increments. It's not fast, but we are moving forward. And they just wanted me to update everyone and if there was any questions.
I asked several questions, and thank you. It was a really good explanation.
Right.
As I understand it, this Marsis pumping system that you guys take care of,
yes,
is in significantly better condition than these other systems. And so the amount of rehabilitation that they have to spend millions and millions of dollars on doesn't apply to us because you take care of stuff that it happens. So if I understand you, the rate increases that we're seeing, that we're burdened with along with these other townships, we're burdened with in significant part because of the rehabilitation of other people's systems, not ours. Is that
that's correct? And the initial trunk line above, they're replacing some of this as well right now. Okay.
So is every other township that feeds into the interceptor now, the sewer systems are now owned by
Bucks County Water Sewer? Not all. There's probably maybe 3 to 5 that are not. But what happens is there was a mandate by DEP that Bucks had this whole entire line was capacity issues. So basically what happened is all municipalities had to go back and redo their Act 537s. So when you redo the Act 537s, what that does is you go in and you look at, let's just say 10 acres, you can put, just say 75 homes, well, 75 townhouses on 10 acres. So they would take the allotted areas left, and then you plug that numbers in and see what you come up with. The next thing, what would happen is if the zoning has changed and allowed for more, or it has changed and allowed for less. So what happened, each municipality had to report back to DEP and Bucks and let them know what their needs were as far as gallonage. So basically all of that was received. DEP approved what they saw. The only thing they put into effect was what they call a CMP, Connection Management Plan, and a CAP, a Corrective Action Plan. So each municipality had to have a plan as to how they were going to fix the I&I. Another one had to have, you know, the Connection Management Plan, and that listed what their needs were, what their build-out would be in, say, 2014 to 2020, maybe. So basically, that gave DEP an idea of how much more flow was coming into this line because of the influx of each municipality telling me what they need. Then that need reduced what Bucks needed to do with this line. But it also has now made Bucks take care of all these municipalities that they bought that were in this repair.
Can you tell me which municipalities' sewer systems are not owned by Bucks?
I know Northampton's not. I think it's Humeville Borough, I believe, is. Bristol is. Van Salem. Lower South is not. Middletown and a couple others. There's Langhorne Borough, Langhorne Manor, Middletown. I believe there's 9 out of the original 15 that they owned down.
Okay, thank you. So they're in the process now of fixing/expanding the trunk line?
Yes. Right now. Yep.
And is that the main driver of the rate increase, or is it all of the other I&I?
It's all the other stuff. Entail all tied into one, basically. There's 3 increases. Well, 2 more increases coming. The one we received already.
And maybe my final question now. There's no way in where the way they're structured, because I assume, so we have an agreement with them to discharge our flow into the trunk line, right?
Correct. Yep.
So we're paying for that and the plant, but there's no way to separate that from those other systems and the work that they need.
No. And what happens is, too, the other driver is Philadelphia. So in other words, in years past, what has happened is Philadelphia can put a moratorium on. So that stops the whole building, stops everything. Bucks can do the same thing. We have no say in that whatsoever. That did happen. We showed our flows were significantly less. Didn't do us any good. Everyone suffered because of it. So what we're trying to do is look ahead to be able to see what these rates will be. We have that, like I said, we're working on the rate projections right now, what they're going to be, you know, out 30 years from now.
So I really appreciate the fact that you guys are looking for a solution in the best interests of your
fans,
which is us, right? Mm-hmm. So two other questions. One, you have an idea, which is to serve this system with its own sewer treatment plant.
That's correct. Right?
And given that there are other townships, would it be even more efficient or possible to work with others, whether it's Northampton or someone else, or is there a reason why we're better off just going along?
Well, that's a good question. Later on, that could happen. I mean, Northampton could, quite possible. I don't know. Maybe Upper Maine too. I we don't know, but for the time being, it's certainly just the sewer authority. The ground that we are looking at is 17 and a half acres or more, so it's plenty for expansion.
Yeah. And then my final question is, it sounds like you're doing like studies with respect to rates, but do you have any idea whether making this move will actually save your ratepayers money?
Yes, in the long run, it will. It's definitely going to, because this rates are going to still continue to go up. The increases for Philly haven't come in quite some time, so I'm sure that's right around the corner. So with the two new increases for Bucks, plus the Philadelphia in the background, I had a crystal ball, I'd be able to tell you, but in the past, in 2008, we had a four-year projected rate increase from Philadelphia that went through Bucks that was 47%. Now, 1 year it was 27.5, the next it was 6, the other next it was 5, then it was 0.9, 0.9%. So that hasn't come for Philly in quite a while, but they're going to be low.
Well, so to me, that's maybe where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to be able to document that projection so that over time, this move that you're thinking about making is actually going to pay off?
Yes, we have the rates from Bucks going back forward 35, 40 years. So, yes, we can plug all them numbers in. That's what they're doing right now.
Thanks.
Warren, being that we use this trunk line, is that why don't we buy water from Philadelphia sometimes for certain days?
No, we don't. We have nothing to do with the water, the sanitary. Okay. New Tower Artesia takes care of your water, and that comes from Bucks County Water and Sewer. Okay. And you are.
Going back a year, is this the system that was being proposed to sell? County was going to sell all these?
To Aqua? No, not our system. No. The Bucks' system.
Bucks, but we tap into that, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
So the fear of the rate increases by selling off to the private company are coming under.
And it could come again in a couple of years. They could relook at all of that.
So, Warren, we had a discussion, I guess, 2 years ago, you came through the council meeting, and we're talking about this, so thank you for staying on it and moving forward. I think, going back to the questions, whether that Act 537, if we were to do this, we're not under the control of the rest of, say, everything south of us and their development concerns, right? So
right.
We own it, but then once we do that, and we have our own treatment facility, how do we determine, or how does the borough and the township determine how much we're building?
Well, what we would do is when we build a trip with a plant, we would have additional capacity. We would all think, for whatever is left on the entire map, we would have capacity for, make sure of that, and some for the future in addition. But the what would happen is there would be their rates would be, what would be up by us, by the sewer authority. There would also be no rates, two rate structures, one for Philly, one for Bucks. And we could steer our own ship in the future and the community as far as build out and where it needs to be and where it can be.
Right. I think I was getting more to the actual building, right? Development. So the township decided they were going to grant massive development, and that would impact us.
Correct.
Within our own facility, now that we
right.
have, how do we determine that? Whereas you said Bucks and Philly determined it and shut it down a couple of years ago.
Well, we're going to be going into our own place, so we wouldn't have to worry about that.
I think what he means is if they say Ashley and Bucks want
yeah.
besides the like ooh
put in another 1700
yeah, yeah. and now they have all rates. That's
right.
That's true.
Right. Well, that yeah. Because we do not have two separate rate structures, one for the borough, one for the county.
But half of them, I guess, is it the water service?
Sewer authority, yeah, that one, we would come up with something, sit down and try to figure that out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, just congratulations on surviving 40 years.
Thank you very much.
I represented the contractor that built the South Philadelphia sewer treatment.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And wow. We had a construction issue of whether the wall could sustain a hurricane force.
Oh, okay.
And it did.
And, oh, yeah.
So that facility is well built, and hopefully we'll build this one.
Oh, absolutely. The facility we're looking at, just so if you, it's called MBR, and what it is, it's a membrane bioreactor. It's the newest thing that's out. I mean, it's been out for a while for water. They use it in water all the time. They were using it in the sewer because of the percentage of removal is so well. And they are what they call cassettes. They're like hanging white strings, and they're a cassette. A module is, say it's 8x8, and that'll do, say, 300,000 gallons of sewer when you sink that in the ground. So basically, we're looking at over 2.5 billion. So the size of the plant is going to be pretty good size, but a lot of it, what's going to be is we're going to have it's going to be undercover. So in Lewes, Delaware, we were there before to look at this plant back in 2013. They have a plant that's about 4 million, and they put everything, it's just like they take the whole entire thing, put cement, concrete tanks in the ground, and then they build kind of like a pole barn right over top. Some places they build it to make it look like an old barn, and they have a silo that is an air diffuser for odor. So everything for the plant goes into that, comes out, and it has air diffuser in there that takes care of the odor. There's not really that much odor with this, only because it's cooled constantly with air all the time in the tanks, and that's what breaks it up. So, but that's the latest and greatest. I mean, it'll be state of the art. DEP knows about that. They've also issued permits on them before. We went and visited one out by Muir Pack in Soderton. It's a small plant, though. It was only
27, maybe.
Yeah, 270,000 gallons a day for a little package plant. But it showed you how it all broke down. The one place in Lewes, Delaware, I will tell you, the contact tank, before it goes out to sea, they have goldfish swimming in it. So it's actually tertiary treatment, which is almost drinking water before it's discharged. They either have a UV system at the end, or they have chlorination and UV as well. Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you need any sort of, we approve the general concept from us.
Well, I will later. What I just wanted to come and let everybody know what's going on. I wanted to give you a little background. I didn't know if anyone knew all about the sewer authority. I can get very winded talking about this. But I will eventually. I want to come back again, let you know where we are in the process, and go from there. Yep. All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Take care.
See you.
Yep. 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 Okay, you have my engineer's report for this month, was part of the packets. First item is a review and approval of the planning module for 116 East Jefferson Street. This is a two-lot subdivision that you conditionally approved about 15 months ago. One of the conditions is that they receive a planning module from DEP. A part of that process, they need signatures from the Newtown Bucks County Joint Municipal Authority, from Bucks County Water and Sewer, and from the Philadelphia Water Department, from the Bucks County Health Department.
from your planning commission and from the Bucks County Planning Commission. They received all of those signatures saying that they have enough capacity. So it is now time for the borough to pass a resolution saying that you approve of the connection of this new lot into the existing collection system.
And this is what we were talking about.
Right, yes. So if it's acceptable, that will be on your agenda for next month.
Is it two houses or one?
It is one new house. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does anyone have any questions for Michelle on that?
Okay. Item number two is payment request number two, which is the final payment for the vegetated swale project at 210 South Chancellor Street. We are recommending this payment to the Ambien Group in the amount of $19,742.50, which includes the second change order that was approved by council a couple months ago.
What is to be done initially?
From this contractor, nothing. Okay. And the third and last item is a review and approval of a resolution for a grant application to the local share account, which is part of the Commonwealth Financing Authority. And by this resolution, you will be approving the submission of a grant with Newtown Township to construct a pedestrian bridge across Newtown Creek and a trail from Sycamore Street to the new pedestrian bridge and from the pedestrian bridge over to Frost Lane. The cost estimate is $877,894.88. The good part about this is that if you do get the grant, it's 100% reimbursable. And that cost that I just stated includes a 10% allowance for design, which would be included in the grant.
Don't we already have a grant that brings the bike paths down from the upward part of Frost to the lower part?
Yes.
We already have that in the bank.
Yes, that is a separate grant. Okay. This is allowing, you have to approve this resolution to allow this grant to be submitted.
It's the next link.
Correct.
Of the bike trails.
Correct.
Okay.
One question I have is the designated officials to execute all documents and agreements, and this is between the borough and the Commonwealth Financing Authority. Can you help us talk about that? Because there's also the question of whose name is on the grant, and the township is much larger. They have staff to do these things.
Right.
So, but I'm not sure if that's the same as here, because somebody still has to execute for the borough. So
right.
How would that work?
So for this resolution, they're looking for signatures from the borough.
Mm-hmm.
The Newtown Township will be the lead agency submitting the grant, because as you said, they're larger, they have more administrative staff to take care of that. But this is a resolution from the borough saying you want this grant to be submitted on behalf of the borough.
Okay. And usually the execution is the president and the mayor, so for most things.
Okay.
So, okay, is everybody good with this resolution? Any questions for Michelle? No, we've been talking about this for a while. Okay. We have Mr. Sellers here from the...
Yes, I didn't hear anything from behind.
If anybody has any further questions, or I think we're good.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Mr. Mayor.
That's me, yes. I guess we don't just want to get to the beginning. I guess because of the timing of this, we're voting on it this evening rather than Tuesday. I'm looking for a motion to approve the alcoholic beverage permit application as an addendum to the annual Black and White Dinner fundraiser sponsored by Newtown Theater on Saturday, September 9th. 2023 at 5:30 to 9 p.m. on State Street in Center and Washington Avenue with no rain.
You have to make a motion.
Oh,
you can.
Okay. I'm making a motion.
Second.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. One item that I want to just bring up is that for the application forms, Emily had suggested including.
It was Jefferson. I think it's his second stage.
That's a long.
Shut that. We don't want.
Oh, that's my fault. That's okay. Have him amended.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I had just the formatting right rather than rethinking it. I just copied and pasted, fine to paint, moved all the stuff, put in the new stuff, and I was hasty. So you need to. I'm sorry, very sorry.
You just got to be nervous for a second.
That's next year.
Yes. So you second. Yes. Okay. Emily had suggested adding into the requirement that there be recycling. And when I talked to Mr. Smith about it, the theater, when they put that out, people just tend to put it all over and they don't have their own dedicated recycling. So people ask the attendees to take their stuff home. Because in this case, they might bring like one bottle of wine, right? Or a couple of beers, but they bring their Pampers and their stuff with them. So, because that's the nature of the event. So in this case, they can bring it home if everybody's good with that. So are there any other questions? Any public comment? Any questions for Mr. Smith? Okay, all is in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes.
If we added it then with the sunshine. Right away.
Never rains on black.
Never
rains.
All right, thanks for coming.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other announcement is the Newtown Beer Fest on Saturday, September 9th, 2023, sponsored by the Newtown Fire Association, 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Stocking Works on South State Street with Little Rain Wings. That's happening this weekend. Very busy weekend. And the annual Black and White Dinner, I went through one approval, so that's
all right. You have something to hand back to me, right?
Here we are. Yeah,
beautiful.
So we need a motion?
No, that's just an approval.
That's the announcement.
Yeah,
same thing.
All right. The sixth report, Mike, I'd like to move this is DPW phase two, which is under the review agenda item, up under the solicitor's report. I know it is for next week, but I think it's better situated under you.
I'm sorry, what are we moving up under me? The DPW phase
two? Yeah, which is, it is for next week,
yeah.
But it's also,
sure.
I think it's better situated
sure.
under you.
Our report is attached, and you should have a copy of it. Prior to the meeting tonight, the board held an executive session to discuss a personnel matter and also to discuss the Steepleview conditional use hearing. The Steepleview conditional use hearing application. The vote will be taken at the meeting on next Tuesday. There's no further updates on that other than the hearing was closed and the evidence was closed. And council will now vote next Tuesday. There is ordinance number 794, which is an ordinance adopting the 2018 International Fire Code. The ordinance again is in your packet, and it is adopting the 2018 International Fire Code with amendment as the Newtown Borough Fire Code. Repealing all inconsistent ordinance or parts thereof and providing a severability clause and providing an effective date. It can be advertised pending confirmation from the code enforcement officer that it does not present any conflicts with the UCC. We've taken a look. We don't see any, we have no concerns about it conflicting with the UCC. So it is ready to advertise. If council wants to advertise,
and the code enforcement officer did review it and submitted his two portions.
So it's ready to go.
Okay. And we have Deputy Chief Nick over here. Anybody has any questions about this? Because Mr. Weaver prepared and
password
and sent it to us.
Okay, this was just from my chair. A little info behind.
Please do.
So we currently have the 2015 edition of the National Fire Code, which used to mirror the 2015 edition of the Building Code that the UCC Uniform Construction Code of the state, which is the Commonwealth, adopted. So we're lagging behind, not in a negative way. We're always going to have to do this when the state changes up to a new edition, which they're actually behind 6 years all the time. So we're doing pretty good. We have to always bring it up to that code so they mirror each other. And that's what this is about. Nothing new. There's so many changes because of technologies, but there's nothing like every door's painted red. So, as Tara said, any questions you have, or if you'd like to read something, to read.
Does anybody have any questions?
Keep that next to the fence.
You read it enough, it kind of it's osmosis. I sadly, I get phone calls from all over the tri-state area for questions on this.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. All right, so are we good with this for next week? Thanks, Mike. President's report. Please note that your fall newsletter submissions are due by October 1st to Judy so that we can get it to the printers in time to have it mailed so everybody has it in advance for the holidays. So please keep that in mind. So the Act 172 Municipal Tax Credit for Volunteer Firefighters. If you recall, last month we passed a resolution to authorize a letter on behalf from the consortium with our name on it to be sent to the commissioners asking for the commissioners to waive the property tax. So this is something that can also be passed by passed by municipalities. And Budget and Finance had discussed this actually last year, and Pat recommended and we had agreed that it made sense for us to do an EIT if we pass this, because not all the firefighters, the volunteer firefighters who live in the borough can own their own home. Some rent, some live with their families, and as we all know, the housing cost here is prohibitive. So I do think that EIT would be preferable. And Pat took a look at the numbers, and it would be a negligible impact on our own budget, but I think mean a lot to our borough volunteers. So at present, we have 6 residents that can fluctuate. Somebody leaves, somebody comes on. But I'd like to be able to move forward with it. So I put, and Judy had put in, and I put another one with pictures, sort of summary of the act and how it works. And we have a draft ordinance from PSAB that we can tailor for the borough. So my question for council is this something that everybody else is interested in us pursuing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll get on the work. I've spoken already with our president, Warren Dallas, and he's provided some information when we were working on it last year before, sadly, Sue passed. So we'll work on the specific requirements because the state has requirements which you can tailor that to your own, your own, what would you call it? Not your association, your own station, your own
station. Right, your own firefighters in the borough.
Yeah, so, yeah,
and we have
exactly.
Right, we'll look at it from what the requirements are from the firefighting side, have to make a certain percentage of calls, but not wanting people to do significant admin support, maybe no run fire calls anymore, if you want to include that. What percentage should you think about?
We don't have that. Yeah. So first, I want to see where everybody is, and also to an extent, like that's something that would look to you for. Like, what do you consider to be active?
Right. I mean, I say percent. What percentage of EIT credit are you looking at?
Oh, yeah. The maximum that they can do.
I think it's 100%.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
91, I think.
Right, which would be 1% of their income.
So right, I looked at the records. They talk. California is actually 8 current firefighters that potentially benefit from this to join this year, so that we have a certain amounts of time to put it out and all those kinds of things. So we're glad to work with it. Appreciate the fact that you're considering something like this to try to make it a little more palatable to these people.
Thank you. Dan, and we can do to help recruitment and retention. All right, so we'll get working on that. Thanks, everyone. Okay, so the alcoholic beverages permit application that was submitted by the theater was just after we approved the ordinance, and we put together with Rudolph Clark a application form, and then I printed that out for council. But the theater was eager, so we passed that, but we still have to approve like the formal permit itself and say, yes, this is the permit we'd like. This is a question I have for you, Mike. This is a vote for us to approve an application form, or do we just need to say, yes, we'd like it?
It's probably better if you take a vote to approve the form. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that this is the official form, mm-hmm. and it's on record.
Right. Okay.
Does that become part of the ordinance?
It does not. It becomes separate from it, and that's why you do the form separate. So each time you want to make tweaks to it or the fee schedule, you don't have to go back in and amend it each time.
Okay. But do we put it online so it's accessible to people?
Yeah, the same place they go to get a special event because they need to, you can't have this without a special event.
So you'll find the ordinance in the e-code, but you won't find the permit.
It's going to be inspected for a resident or group to do that. They have to go to the website and get the special event.
Yeah,
okay. And they have to
make sure we have
it.
And
it's accessible.
Yeah, it's the same way the other.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have some track changes here, which Emily had submitted. She had a couple questions, and I think I clarified that way. The borough on property has to, some of the language just matches the ordinance itself. And she had a couple mechanical corrections, if everybody is okay, capitalizing alcoholic beverage permit in the in the text, instead of saying brief lowercase description and making it a capital D description of event or self, but capitalized. And she, one of the lines says, we understand, and she, this is really a question for you too. So Emily suggested there's a line in here, which we wanted to make that sure that was really clear. We understand that the consumption of alcohol by minors is strictly prohibited at all times on public property. And her comment is, can we get rid of this? It's almost like we're saying that do what you want in private, but really the consumption of alcohol by minors is strictly prohibited in all times, period. And she's correct. We don't want to imply that, but at the same time, I think it's important that the people, like, yes, I signed off and I read it, and you, like, right here you saw this. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's well known that you're not allowed to have alcohol prior. I think, you know, we're just trying to regulate the particular event. I think just keep the language as it is.
Okay.
The event. I don't see a real reason to add it.
Okay. And then the other thing is, in addition to a couple comments, is to include not just large trash receptacles, which is in the ordinance, but to add and recyclable receptacles. So we didn't put that in the ordinance, but we could still say as a condition of the permit, we want you to do recycling. And I know there might be individual situations like I brought up with theater where they don't have it and they tried it, people weren't really using it, but they can say, bring it home with you. But say the rec board does something and there's a beer truck at the park and they have a cordoned off, you know, Oktoberfest. And then people have stuff and they just throw it in the regular trash. So can we say that, or how does council feel about adding that? So it's not in the ordinance. Mike, can we add that though to the permit? to say recycling, even though it's not in the ordinance.
If you wanted to add a condition of the application that they acknowledge that they have to provide recycling bins, you can do that. I guess the only question I would have is recycling, and then they just leave them there, or they're responsible?
They're responsible for it. This says which will be maintained and empty periodically during the day and will be removed at the end of the day. So that was already in there for the trash.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
So how does everybody feel? Do we want to do that? And then if they have a problem with it, they can come to us and say, I have a problem with it. Or do you think that we shouldn't have it?
I think it is a good idea. How much people all participants ultimately use them, and what the trash collectors do may be outside of our control, but we want to provide the potential to allow for recycling as much as we can.
Right. And I think to your point, the potential for it, because people will put their things, their bottles in the trash.
Right. And vice versa.
Yeah.
So we need to try.
So what is everybody else?
That's what they do for Welcome Day.
Welcome Day has it, yeah. Mary Ellen, do you have any thoughts on that?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so we'll add that. Okay. And everybody's good with all the mechanical, like, comments and whatever, because Emily's very good at that stuff, so she cleaned it up, I'm fine. So the last section, Mike, this is really for you. So right now it says, such policy, about the insurance policy, shall name the borough as an additional insured. Certificate should be attached to the application. So she has changed, and then she has changed it from should to must. And then she wrote, this application will not be considered without a fully executed indemnity agreement attached. So the can we change that?
You can.
Okay. Procedurally cheap, does that make sense for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so is everybody good with that? Saying that it must be attached, not that it should be attached, and that we won't consider it until you have it.
Yeah.
All right. And the other question I have for you related to this has to do with the certificate of liability insurance. So I got a blank from like a form for them to fill out from Lauren. And the total compensation amount of $1 million of general liability is what our insurer, when we went to our insurance, Johnson Campbell Johnson, asked them, and they came back and they said, this should be, we should have coverage for $1 million, right? Okay, so that's fair enough. Because we didn't have the form yet from Rudolph Clark, had submitted their one directly from their own insurer, and I sent that up to Warren. She said everything is fine. Then she said specifically the property damage section, often our clients make it higher. This one has 100,000, often our clients make it 250,000. And I said, well, we don't, this will be on the street, and everything is streets or parks. We don't have, it's not like we own a pavilion or a public event space that the town lets get used, or an old barn or whatever it is. And she said, it's fine, it's up to council. And basically what she said is, to quote, she says, ultimately that is up to the borough. Council is comfortable with $100,000 in coverage, and the insurance carrier is as well. And then she says, in my experience, they're more concerned with personal injury and liquor liability limits. I think the lower amount makes sense. So I said, good. All right. So that's fine. So that was fine for tonight.
I think the amount should be 250. Event, they could have events both in Ryan Craig's Park and the park on N Street. And things cost so much money now, the lower limits are insignificant.
So you think you're talking about property damage?
I think the property damage should be higher. Just because we have structures, we have fences, we have water facilities on these things. I think the higher the more prudent. because we're going forward in a high inflation.
I think perhaps one of the points is, as Bob said, that the cost of the additional property insurance is not like the that's
but it'll give us a higher protection.
But I do have one question, which is just thinking about the order of the events and the requirement that we get the certificate of insurance before we consider the application. Certainly an applicant submit a signed indemnity agreement, whatever we call it. But with respect to the certificate of insurance, getting insurance, in some cases, they may be special riders for the event. And so I'm wondering if it's going to be difficult for some applicants to present, to get the insurance if they haven't. If they don't have any event yet to get insurance for it. You following them?
Right, they have a proposed event.
Yeah.
I'm going to comment on that because I had experience with the New Hope celebrates Pride events and the parades and the ancillary events over the course of 4 days. And we could not have the event without the insurance being in place. And sometimes the belated action in getting the insurance almost caused the whole thing to collapse. So it's really prudent to put on the applicant the notice of you have to have this. And don't wait till the last minute because it has to go to the police, it's got to go to the secretary, and things could happen on the weekends and things. Make them with the application that the insurance policy is there and everybody's covered and the road's covered. Just from experience, it is chaotic.
Yes. So my point though, Bob, is that you said so. It's a big deal for an event like that. Does it make sense to get the insurance for a special event for a special group if they don't have a permit for the event?
The agent doesn't bill them until the permit is in place and everything's ready.
Yeah, you get special event insurance. There's companies that sell that.
And it's effective on the day.
Talked about that.
So from a procedure standpoint, you got to get this stuff in because, for example, here, Judy's got it budgeted. You may have to go to somebody else along the way. The chief has to have it. It's run into a weekend and stuff.
Well, that's why we have we have the 60 days in there. In this case, because we just passed and we gave a special, council in the ordinance council has to leave it. So I'm hearing that. Oh, sorry.
So you said there's a 60 day window. So right now, without the alcohol attachment, if someone wanted a special event request, right? The insurance certificate is not handed in with the form to get approved, right?
So she just stepped out of the room. Special event applications get submitted to him.
Right.
And I'm not 100% sure if he's
going to
see the scale I.
And he would say, here, you need to get this filled, right? So, or it will have it on the website and you get it and then you have to get it done.
I think what would make most sense is request that you have it submitted.
Yeah.
If an organization says, listen, our insurance company requires that, well, if you have 60 days, well, within 30 days, the borough needs to receive it, right? So at least you have another 30 days of buffer. But I don't know if you can, I guess we can test it out too.
We
can leave the language as it is. If it ends up crossing an issue, I guess we cross that.
And that the language of you should have it if before it's considered, not like you can submit it and then you're like, okay, I need this. And then you trot off and you do it and you bring it back and you're like, all right, chief, here you go, ta-da. And then she says, everything's all lined up and I don't have to wait for the next minute to check off. So that's what it means, I think, more than you can show off with a filled out thing and say, this is what I want to do and here's my special event. So you can do all that, I think. So I'm hearing a sense of wanting to have more than the $100,000per property. This is the only property, the rest of it's a million. But I'll take it to JKJ and say, this came up because it's on the form. And so far, we've only asked them what they want, and they just gave us the million for the aggregate. Okay, and then we'll report back to everybody. All right, update on search for bookkeeping. services. Council is looking for a service, a company to provide professional services for bookkeeping, in addition to the manager. And the manager would be an employee, but that right now we're pursuing, most importantly, the services, and council is taking action on that. And we're wrapping up a description of the service that we want, and we've developed a subcommittee who will go out and reach out to firms and conduct interviews. So we are hoping that before the end of the month, we have somebody in place. Okay, traditionally, we have always closed Borough Hall following Thanksgiving on Friday, November 24th. Is everybody good with doing that again this year? Okay, same with lifting of the parking restrictions over the holiday season. And this is for the hourly parking. We've done this every year for a number of years, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, but we have to approve it now so that it can go into the newsletter.
Debated the start and finish date. So what is the proposal?
Thanksgiving to New Year's.
So Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving Day, the day after. What day are you proposing? I can't remember what we did.
We'll do whatever we, how about we do whatever we did last year, which we discussed and decided. So well, if everybody's good with the concept, I'll go pull up what we did before.
It's in the favorite newsletters. Because we do put it in.
Oh, so we can go in the fall newsletter from last year. Just doing the same thing.
Last year.
Yeah.
You thought that was good.
So are we good with that? Okay. All right. And we have a request for a handicap parking space at 128 North Congress Street. The letter, the form, chief has reviewed it and okayed it. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
It says,
so this is 128 North Congress, and they have provided their chief, what do you call that? The PennDOT handicap placard, yeah. And filled out, well, instead of filling out the form, they wrote a letter, but they put everything that goes in the form in the letter.
Speaking of credits, what happened to the sign It Penn and Congress.
I did this.
Did somebody hit that?
That the at Penn and Congress?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm addressing.
Yeah, it's Gene Happel has it on her porch, and Scott knows that, and he's gonna put it on. He's getting a new pole. Everything's good. Yeah.
All right.
We're all good.
But they didn't make a FedEx truck.
Okay. Because just so you know, those. The old poles have to be replaced with the breakaway poles.
Yeah.
That's a FedEx truck. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. I was
going to
say,
I need
that.
Hold it.
Okay, the last, if everybody's good with that, does anybody have any questions on the handicap parking? The last thing is that I have. Before we move to Chris, is the 2024 pension minimum municipal obligation for non-uniform plan and for the police pension plan. This goes to PMRS, Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement Service. Every year we have to give a certain amount. It's calculated based on the prior year's number of people and what their salaries and wages were. So Pat fills out the form with the calculations, and the Act 205, which established it, says that the chief administrative officer of each pension plan, right, and that would be Pat in our case, shall inform the governing board of expected financial obligation by next year. And she has done so by providing us with the 2024 MMO for $12,856 for a non-uniform plan, $53,556 for the police pension plan. So that's a straight up thing. We have to vote on it, but we don't really have a say on it because it's based on the numbers. Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay. All right. Chris?
Okay.
No? Marianne, you said no?
I have no questions.
Okay, thank you. All right, Chris?
So it's my pleasure to be council's liaison to the Environmental Action Committee.
And I would like to report back to council two items that were discussed at the last meeting. The most important one being the first, which is that the committee has put together a rough draft of a ordinance that they would like us to consider that would significantly limit the use of plastics or plastic shopping bags, utensils, those types of things to take out food. I just to point out, this is a similar effort and a similar status as well before the township committee as well, township supervisors. In New Jersey, as you know, there's a state law in this regard that you can't use throwaway plastic shopping bags, and there are a number of other restrictions. We have no such law here in the state of Pennsylvania. But that doesn't mean that we here in Newtown and many other communities are also, have done it or are looking to do it, should do our part where we can. Now, if you're like me, I have a bunch of shopping bags that usually stay on the washing machine when I go shopping. So then more recently, they made it to the trunk, right? And at least when I go to Tanner's, they give me a paper bag, which is great. But on occasion, I remember to bring them in. The time, I think, is really arrived for this community to do what it can to reduce the use of non-recyclable plastics. And there are some practical things that we can do. So what the committee has proposed is that we consider an ordinance very similar to what the township is proposing that would eliminate the use of throwaway plastic shopping bags. So that when you go shopping here in town, you take something out with a paper bag that can be provided to you, or you bring a bag, but not a plastic throwaway bags, which proliferate in my kitchen, and I'm not going to tell you where they end up, probably not where they should. So in addition, to limit when you're doing takeout food, the use of styrofoam and plastic utensils, and even straws, although you can ask for some of these things. Obviously, some drinks you need a straw for, but to place some limits on these so there's not a proliferation of plastic that is making it into the waste stream. So that's what they've asked us to take a look at, and they provided us with a draft that what I would propose is that we authorize our solicitor to take a look at and to prepare that ordinance. Now, if you have questions, if you want to hear more, you have a kind representative of our environmental committee here. So I don't want to take the thunder away, but hopefully you feel like I addressed the issue.
Okay. I vote yes.
All right. Thank you. So that's number one. Number two is that we also discussed what should be on the environmental committee's agenda to take a look at going forward. Now, it started with them asking me, what does council want them to take a look at? To which I said, we're so busy, Art, that I'm not sure we have a whole lot of time to think about that. We should, but if the committee itself would come up with a short list of things that they would like us to consider, and so that's what the charge I left them with, which is to think about the things to bring to us, and then perhaps from that we can make some recommendations as to what they should be spending their time working on.
Hmm. Has it come up putting the stickers on the rest of the inlets?
That I don't know. not recent.
Does anybody have any questions on the draft ordinance?
I just have a suggestion. I know a lot of times, so I think last month we had a resident here that had no idea that there was going to be a bridge next to her house, right? And she was totally adamant. Right or wrong, maybe she should have, she didn't, whatever. With this, have we actually walked into each restaurant and explained to them what, rather than just passing it, telling them it's in 6 months, you're up and running, good luck. Have we actually reached out to the restaurant, not by survey or email, but face-to-face and said, this is what we're proposing, what are your thoughts, this is why, that type of thing, rather than just rolling this out?
I think the answer, well, go ahead.
I'm Kevin Borsch, I'm 103 or State. Since I can't remember when Amy brought this to working session, it's been maybe back in March or February. But since then, we took your recommendation to do some outreach to the community, and we did do a survey.
You emailed it, right?
Yes, and Judy kindly emailed it. I'm not
sure.
Two, not three times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get many responses back. And then in, let's see, May 8th, we did a public meeting talking about this. So have we gone to each and every restaurant or business? No.
I mean, there's not a lot of them. And the reason why I said that is because normally what happens is the surveys fall on deaf ears. You don't get the responses. We saw with the single trash hauler, we had a very small percentage of residents respond to the survey, and we took that information and said, well, this is what the residents feel. So I think it's a great idea. I just think it would go over a lot smoother if we actually explained to them what it means and why, and at least gave them a heads up rather than just rolling it out. I maybe it's not knocking on every. I don't know.
Well, you did a lot of work because I was CC'd on it, and a lot of work went into that, and I think that was terrific. But I'm wondering if you do a face to face, if it's just the restaurants because they're the most impacted by this.
It just created
an
awareness.
And,
I'd be happy to help.
They
well.
Might say something even like, "Well, you should think about X, Y, and Z." We'll be like, "Oh, we didn't think about this aspect of the situation. We tweak it a little bit."
Because I know I've had a conversation with two folks. One said, oh yeah, my supplier for these plastics has alternatives you can use, right? The other one was like, I don't even know where to begin. So rather than have that person kind of struggle, well, maybe they can connect and talk and say, hey, I know this person can help. You know, the five or six restaurants.
And that's a very good idea because that's something we have been talking about is being able to collaborate within the business, in the community, specifically the restaurants. And frankly, the township as well. The township, there are many restaurants in the township doing a really good job on reusable plastics and materials. But I think there's an opportunity for us to sort of have them collaborate with recommendations as well. Honestly, in terms of talking to each of one of the restaurants, that's something we're going to probably have to take back to the committee. I don't know if we have the manpower to do that.
If there's something almost like a cheat sheet that we can pull out of this.
What if it was a frequently asked questions type document?
You know, that's something that so for instance, you asked for any submissions for our newsletter, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that I could work on with you guys to come up with those bullet points. Not and to put them in the newsletter, but also then it would also be something that could be shared with our business.
And you can leave them on the counter if they're not there.
There's probably five or six restaurants, or four or five restaurants that they talk to one another. So if you get in front of one or two, mm-hmm. they will at least help. But if you had a cheat sheet, this is what it is. They're not going to read all of this, right? And then, so here it is. Let us know what your thoughts are. Come to a meeting, come back, let us know. At least they've been.
They're not going to like it.
Some of them, I wouldn't say that. Some I've spoken to that, listen, I think right away that it's the unknown,
right?
What it's going to cost their business.
Right.
But if they start talking to their vendors, I think they'll find it may not be as terrible as.
Yeah. And if they bought a year's supply or something, right?
Right.
Catherine had put in a hardship clause, yep. So that we can always talk to them. The idea is not to
the work
to have them throw money away,
mm-hmm.
but the idea is to make this move and make it real.
And change consumers' behavior, just to start the mindset change. The Ice House is a perfect example of what Chris is talking about, because they're, in the survey, they were one to push back somewhat.
Because they have
and that's simply
plans.
Because, they, well, they also have, you know, a brand new business, which has,
mm.
they have so much supply
mm.
that I do need to talk to them about the exemption, because certainly we work with business like that. Use up what you have, and then, you know, then we'll talk.
All right, so it sounds like there's plenty to be done before this is ready for advertisement.
Well, is there? I mean, it needs to be, look, what I'm proposing is that we move to direct the solicitor to work on the ordinance. And what I would hope that could happen is that it could move through the process. And not and if there's a parallel effort in terms of that sort of soft community education, that's great, but I don't think that one necessarily needs to wait for the other.
Well, and it can go to Mike, that their office can take a look at it. We can come back with some tweaks and then send them over, and they can say, ah, yes, that'll work.
This is the third one we're working on at this time.
Okay.
So, yeah, two of our other municipalities have just authorized us to put this together. So,
are you at liberty to say yet?
Plymouth Township in Montgomery County and Whitby Township in Montgomery County.
So you could take all the work and divide by three. Thank you for that.
That's right.
Everybody gave them a different draft.
Funny how that worked.
Okay. We may come back to some tweets, but we're going to go parallel and then go back to them. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Is everybody good with we are taking a look at this draft? And then you all will figure out, if you're going to go door knocking, we're going to create bullet points and go visit. I think we have, what, 8? Something like that, 8 or 9, I'm going to forget something. But putting the boat place and zebra shark whale.
I'm not going to promise that anyone is going to give you every single one of these boats, but.
Somebody will.
I can help. I mean,
yeah, it's like 8 visits.
I think when you talk to 3 or 4, they'll talk to one another. They'll probably call you and everything else is about.
Right. Yeah.
Well, then you and I and Catherine should go.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe like it can be like a tasting. Thanks for coming, Catherine. Thank you for all the hard work. All right, Mary Ellen.
Hi. So we have remaining vacancies on committees, commissions, and board. Two alternates we need two alternates for the Civil Service Commission. We have one application received from Joe Lovey. We're looking for a member from the Environmental Advisory Committee, one member from Human Relations Commission, one member from Joint Historic Commission, one alternate for the Zoning Hearing Board. Parking and Signs is always looking for ad hoc committee members, and we're looking for one member for the Walk Friendly Newtown Standing Committee.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Morning about the JHC, because that's a small committee and they make important decisions. Is the township down any, or do you know?
I don't know that. Sorry.
That's up to Emily. Township is down. They're not one too. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us, even though you're away.
No. My pleasure.
All right. Do we have any old business?
I would like to add at the upcoming meeting a moment of silence for Lily McHugh.
For
Lily McHugh, she was a council person from New Hope. Very active in many, many ways, and a mentor to me. And unfortunately, she had a medical trauma that caused her to black out and get killed in a tractor trailer accident last week, which was very, very traumatic for me because she was a very close friend.
Sure.
With whom I worked on a number of, she was like a mentor when I needed, like, what do you guys do? So I think it would be appropriate to recognize Lloyd McHugh for a moment of silence at this upcoming meeting, because she is a sister council person with us. And when we lost Susan last year, I got a lot of condolences from the New York councilors. I would just like
we did. No, that's nice.
What's appropriate sort of protocol here? I mean, I definitely understand Bob's wish to respect her memory, but what is the protocol with respect to who we do recognize with the moment of silence?
There's no law, but usually it's somebody, like if there's of somebody there in the borough resident, or I mean could potentially, I think we haven't done one in my experience, but you could potentially do a business owner too. Or a major tragedy, like we did for the people who died in the flood, or if there's like a national tragedy, for Hawaii, yeah, like I think it's sort of on everybody's minds, national tragedy, because everybody's thinking about it, or local people. So ordinarily, but this is what I'm wondering, Bob, is they sent us a letter. I'm wondering if a letter of condolence from us to them, because then they'll get that, they'll know about it.
I think that would be very nice.
Yeah, because instead of the moment of silence,
I think that would be very, very, very nice.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it would go to Connie Gearing, who's a council person.
To who?
Connie Gearing.
It's G-E-H-R-I-N-G. Send me all the information.
I'll give Judy the contact.
Tell Judy, yeah. And we'll put it on letterhead and make a nice letter.
Thank you for that.
And I'll talk to you about it, because I think we want to convey like how she was helpful and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And she was, they have some division over there, and she was sort of a settling voice.
That's tragic.
They just hit a uproar about their parking garage, and
I'm happy to draft the letter and share it with my board too.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you, Judy. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
She was the founder of the Dragon Boat Clubs.
Really.
Just a wonderful person.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, everyone. So we'll do the letter and not the moment of silence. But we've had recognition of longtime contributors with street signs, and it's sort of like an ad hoc thing. It's like, how should we handle this thing, and this solution would be even better.
Thank you. All right, any other old business? Any announcements? Public to be heard?
Okay. Jeff, say something. Wake up.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second. All right, we motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.